That is the music of Dr. Deborah Stroman. She's a UNC faculty member, University of Virginia professor, former coach, former player. She's been a community member for many, many years with us and a sports businesswoman extraordinaire to boot. You know her from If You Only Knew right here on our 97.9 The Hill airwaves. And she joins me each Friday for the segment to talk about the latest stories in sports. Deb, as always, thanks for joining us and happy Friday. How are you?
I am doing great. I'm looking forward to another day, another 2 days of basketball. I'm disappointed. I'm hurt with the men's loss to Alabama, but I am very, very grateful for what they've given us this year.
Yeah, I think that is the general sense that the Carolina community is feeling today, too. Just that it's a shame that it ends prematurely, at least by Carolina perspectives, but just the turnaround from last year to this year, it puts Carolina back into a place where I think people want them to be, and with just such an interesting group of guys. And I'm curious, Deb, it sounds like that the players have just been were kind of in shock after the game last night, which is not too surprising with how back and forth and close it was, and it really just came down to a handful of mistakes on their side. But from your experience around the game as a player and a coach, when you have a team that wants to go far, wants to win a championship, and genuinely has a shot based on the talent collected, what is that like when you just fall short of that goal, when you crash out of a tournament unexpectedly, or you're realizing it's hitting you that your season is finished? Can you walk us through those emotions?
Absolutely. It is shocking to your core. And I think most people went into the season this time with legitimate reasons, thinking that Carolina was a Final Four team. I've learned, having moved here, having gone to school here, that there are some unrealistic expectations by Tar Heel fans and Tar Heel alums. There are some people out here who believe that every year North Carolina should be in the Final Four, which means you're good enough to win the national championship. This is one of those years where, on paper and the way they played, being a regular season ACC champion, that it could be done. Rotations, some coaches say that you need about 6 or 7 players. North Carolina this year, under Hubert Davis, they played about 9 players. So thinking that we were deep enough, we had depth to be able to cover each position, someone gets in foul trouble, we can rotate, someone else can step over and step up and do the job. And so to lose against a team that actually played your style, that didn't have the star power that North Carolina has, to lose, it hurts. And for some people, there will be criticism until now, until October when we start up again, that Coach Davis and his staff missed out on a great opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody looking at it from the perspective of Carolina was up by a point with a minute to go, they had the ball with the chance to go to an Elite Eight against a Clemson team that you had already beaten, had already faced twice this season, man, that's it's certainly going to feel like a missed opportunity in the end. Along the lines of talking about the coaching staff, you know, looking forward here, Deb, I think obviously with the transfer portal in today's day and age, it's hard to make hard and fast projections about what next season is going to look like. But what do you think this year, this return to form for the program, means for Carolina under Hubert Davis as he moves forward? And, you know, is it something that can be replicated, because this team was so experienced? You had Armando Bacot and RJ Davis as the linchpins and the holdovers who have been there through Davis's tenure. It feels like, you know, next year and the years beyond, you're entering now this new territory that we haven't seen with him. So I guess the question is, do you think that Carolina can get back and that Hubert Davis can build a team just like this one in the future?
Well, this was the year that many people were looking at to see if Coach Davis and his staff, if they're the ones that can get it done, in the sense that tradition of knowing every year you're going to be competing for the Final Four. I strongly believe that players win championships, players win games, and coaches set players up to be successful. And so when you look at what happened this season, I would say 90% of the time, the coaching staff did a great job. I, like many others, and I am one who played ACC basketball and have played under a Hall of Fame coach, and had the opportunity to follow Coach Williams, and I were assistant coaches at the same time back in the 80s. I've been around a lot of top coaches. People do have legitimate reasons to question the outcome in terms of how the season ended up. The wild card is RJ Davis. Will he come back or will he move on to, you know, professional leagues? When you think about championship teams, as in those, again, contending for the Final Four, I feel that you have to have at least two players, who have NBA professional, elite professional play type skills. And so if RJ comes back, that checks the box. Other than that, well, Harrison Ingram checks the box. So, yes, they can come back. They can be strong. They can be formidable. They can be a team that not only do you tremble when you see North Carolina, you know, showing up in your gym or you're going to their gym, it can be done. But now you have to think about the other pieces around that. And that's the question mark. I think Coach Davis and his staff did a great job with the transfer portal. Another example would be Alabama. They lost a big percent of their offense, of their star players, and here they are, you know, final eight now through the transfer portal. So I have nothing but expectations, and I think mine are pretty grounded, but I do have expectations that Carolina will be back next year and they will be a threat for ACC championship to win it all, regular season or tournament, and they'll be competitive again for next year's Final Four.
We're speaking with Dr. Deborah Strowman here on 97.9 The Hill. I agree that I think you have very grounded expectations, Deb. We always appreciate your voice of reason when it comes to these things and your perspective of being both a former player, former coach who have been out there, and then somebody who enjoys being in the stands as well. I want to turn to the women's side of the bracket where Carolina lost last weekend, but man, it has been very exciting on the women's March Madness side, partially because you have these really great teams that have taken care of business so far, similar to the men's side. And we've talked about the business of women's sports quite a bit, Deb, and when I saw this, I immediately was like, Deb and I have to talk about this too. They announced that this past week, they announced that once again, Women's March Madness set new attendance records for the first and second rounds, and that marks the third year in a row of setting those attendance records. And some folks might argue, well, it's because Iowa, Caitlin Clark, they're a huge deal this year. Even more people know about them than before. And while that is true, they've also shared that non-Iowa games in attendance are up 74% year over year. So still some excellent growth there. And Deb, I'm not sure if I necessarily have a question, but this is just yet another data point that proves the power of women's college basketball.
It is exciting. It is fan-friendly. And it's something that people can relate to. And so when I say relate to, number one, most people don't have people in their family who are 6'5 and above and who can fly through the air and dunk, right? So women's basketball, you can see people out there doing things that you feel capable that you yourself could do or used to do. So it's a relatable game. It's not one of those, oh my gosh, look at those gods out there doing things that are like superhuman, right? So you can relate to it. I would say the other thing about college women's basketball is that the NIL, the transfer portal, currently does not interrupt your ability to gain familiarity with the team. As it's been stated over and over again, when you watch college men's basketball today, how many stars can you name? And certainly before March Madness, you just can't name many stars because they go to different teams, you stop following them, or they've moved on to the pros. Whereas with women's basketball, you get to grow with players. I mean, we've been following Deja Kelly for 4 years, and now we have Hannah Hidalgo at Notre Dame who will be one of the faces of women's basketball next year, just a first-year player. You followed Caitlin Clark for 4 years. So people now who like basketball, they saw that player last year. Oh, they're seeing them now. They're watching them develop. So you have the opportunity to grow with the game, and I think that's a big part of it. And, of course, the marketing dollars are coming now.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to showcase those stars and draw in even more fans.
And this, you know, everybody always loves upsets. But as you see big brands, big programs with these stars continue to advance, the play picked up again today in the Sweet 16 as these teams continue to play and get closer to a Final Four. If you can get some of those big matchups, I bet we're going to see the TV viewership numbers explode once again too, which just, again, it goes to show that anybody who argues that there isn't an audience for this just flat out doesn't know what they're talking about, because this has got to be some of the biggest growth that we have seen when it comes to sports.
Yes, and I want to make sure that people continue to watch South Carolina women's basketball, because we
might see
a dunk, right? So, you know, they've got players in their teams that dunk. So if you're looking for that, come over to women's basketball, or I should say share screens. Have your computer going and your flat screen TV at the same time, or go to multi-view. But there are a lot of exciting players besides Caitlin Clark that are doing great things with top programs. Not going to see as many upsets because resources are there's a big gap with mid-majors in women's basketball versus mid-majors in men's basketball. I will also say that the money is coming now. You know, the big news was Ice Cube, who has the Big Three tournament, he offered Caitlin Clark $5 million to play 10 games. So this could happen in her offseason of the WNBA, and you can imagine that's going to draw more endorsements and more money. So the money is flowing towards women's basketball, and I'm so happy to see the fan base increasing as well.
Yeah, mentioning some of those other ones you said, South Carolina, star freshman Mylaysia Fulwiley getting that Under Armour brand deal with Steph Curry's line as a freshman. Like, it absolutely is coming, and we're going to continue to know these stars and names. You brought up South Carolina. They just looked like an absolute machine against the Tar Heels when they played in the second round last weekend. I want to maybe just close on this thought, Deb, bringing it back to Carolina. You had said coming into that game, well, it shouldn't be a blowout for Carolina, or they should try and make it not a blowout because South Carolina is that good. And I'm curious to your thoughts here. Is this, was that performance last weekend more of a testament to South Carolina truly being that good, or more of an indictment on our Carolina and where the Tar Heels kind of finished their season as they had a bunch of injuries and their offense was just not what they wanted it to be?
I'd have to say it's South Carolina, because people kept saying, whether it's the fans, whether it's the media, that North Carolina can play with South Carolina. I think South Carolina was offended by that. Mm. I absolutely believe it. They were offended, and they wanted to show that they are a double digit worthy team, as in we can beat North Carolina by double digits as well, just like we beat everybody else. They were locked in. I'd be surprised if they would have that type of blowout score with any other game coming up. This was personal for them. This was really personal. I think with women's basketball moving forward with North Carolina, we have to be mindful of the transfers. It will happen. We've already seen one. Paris, she's decided to move on. Coach Banghart needs to get strong post players. When you get to this level, Final Eight, Final Four with women's basketball, you've got two or three post players that are agile, and they can sit on the block and just dominate. And that's what North Carolina needs.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see just how much that program also continues to grow and try and shift with those sands of the changing college basketball landscape. But either way, a great time for hoops and a good time to be a Carolina fan, even though both of the basketball programs did not see their season end the way that fans want them to. I tell you what, I always love my Friday ending with conversations with Dr. Deborah Strom. And Deb, thank you so much for the time, and enjoy your weekend.
Thank you, and go Heels.